Shakil was sitting there, and he says, "The Quran is correct and true." And Claire over here says, "No, the Bible is true." So we talked about the similarities between what they say and the places where they disagree. And we agreed that they could not both be true. And eventually I said, "Sorry, Shakil, you are wrong. It is the Bible that is true." And he said, "Sorry, Mr. McQuaid, you are wrong. It is the Quran." And they went on to lunch and carried on discussing it there. That's what we want. We want children to know why it is they believe what they believe and to defend it.
What a charming picture. Shakil and Claire went to lunch together, vigorously arguing their cases and defending their incompatible beliefs. But is it really so charming? Isn't it actually rather a deplorable picture that Mr. McQuaid has painted? Upon what, after all, did Shakil and Claire base their argument? What cogent evidence was each one able to bring to bear in their vigorous and constructive debate? Claire and Shakil each simply asserted that her or his holy book was superior, and that was that. That is apparently all they said, and that indeed is all you can say when you've been taught that truth comes from scripture rather than from evidence. Claire and Shakil and their fellows were not being educated. They were being let down by their school, and their school principal was abusing not their bodies, but their minds.
Consciousness raising again. And now here's another charming picture. At Christmas time one year, the daily newspaper The Independent was looking for a seasonal image and found a heartwarmingly ecumenical one at a school nativity play. The three wise men were played by, as the caption glowingly said, Shadbreet, a Sikh, Musharraf, a Muslim, and Adele, a Christian, all aged four.
Charming. Heartwarming. No, it is not. It is neither. It is grotesque. How could any decent person think it right to label four-year-old children with the cosmic and theological opinions of their parents? To see this, imagine an identical photograph with the caption changed as follows.
Shadbreet, a Keynesian, Musharraf, a monetarist, and Adele, a Marxist. All aged four.
Wouldn't this be a candidate for irate letters of protest? It certainly should be. Yet, because of the weirdly privileged status of religion, not a squeak was heard, nor is it ever heard on any similar occasion. Just imagine the outcry if the caption had read,
Shadbreet, an atheist, Musharraf, an agnostic, and Adele, a secular humanist. All aged four.
Mightn't the parents actually be investigated to see if they were fit to bring up children? In Britain, where we lack a constitutional separation between church and state, atheist parents usually go with the flow and let schools teach their children whatever religion prevails in the culture. The Brights.net, an American initiative to rebrand atheists as Brights, in the same way as homosexuals successfully rebranded themselves as gays, is scrupulous in setting out the rules for children to sign up.
The decision to be a Bright must be the child's. Any youngster who is told he or she must or should be a Bright cannot be a Bright.
Can you even begin to imagine a church or mosque issuing such a self-denying ordinance? But shouldn't they be compelled to do so? Incidentally, I signed up to the Brights partly because I was genuinely curious whether such a word could be mimetically engineered into the language. I don't know, and would like to, whether the transmutation of gay was deliberately engineered or whether it just happened.